Welcome to Robotics Roundtable on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM, featuring area robotics teams and special guests in the robotics world. Robotics Roundtable is supported by Berrien Springs Public Schools, together inspiring students to think, learn, achieve, and care in a global community. Cook Nuclear Plant. Explore careers at aep.com/careers. South Haven Public Schools, inspiring success in learning, leadership, and life. And Lakeshore Public Schools, supporting and offering STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, grounded in tradition, committed to excellence.
Hello and welcome to Robotics Roundtable on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM. I'm your host, Tim Dunai. We meet here every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to discuss high school robotics with Southwest Michigan area robotics teams. You can also catch any Robotics Roundtable discussion you've missed on WSJM.com as a podcast or see the video of us on WSJM's Facebook page. Welcome, everybody, to another week of Robotics Roundtable. We are meeting in a virtual space. That's the new thing for this season. And the ability to meet in a virtual space gives us the ability to reach out to people who aren't necessarily in Southwest Michigan. We have a special one today. At least it's special for me because I've gotten to see these kids grow up and now young adults leading lives. We have some alumni from the Greengineers from Team 3452. We talked with the Greengineers, the actual team, a couple weeks ago. So we're going to meet with some of the alumni, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves. Maybe tell us when you graduated, graduated high school, and where you're at now in your post-graduation career and what your plans are. So let's start, ladies first always. Lily, if you wouldn't mind.
Hi, I'm Lily. I graduated from Berrien Springs High School in 2017. After that, I went to Lake Michigan College for 2 years, got an associate's degree in biology in 2019. Now I'm currently at Michigan State University working on a bachelor's in psychology with a minor in cognitive science. I graduate this May, so May 2021. And then after that, this summer, I'll be moving to Kentucky to go to Kentucky College of Osteopathic Medicine, where I will graduate as a doctor in 2025. And that's pretty much all I've been doing right now. Lots of school.
Pretty much. That's a lot. That's three schools within a short amount of time. That's almost as many as you had in your K through 12 career right there. So very good. Max, how about you?
Hi, I'm Max Dreher. Graduated Berrien Springs High School in 2019. I went to Kettering University the fall after setting a bachelor's in computer science. With the Kettering program, we go back and forth between school and work for every 3 months. So I've been working at, for the past two terms, Detroit Diesel Corporation over in Detroit.
Very good. And then AJ?
Yeah, hello. My name's AJ. I graduated from Berrien Springs in 2019. I'm also at Kettering University. I'm studying for my bachelor's in mechanical engineering. And I'm set to graduate in 2022. For the co-op portion, I work for Textron Aviation or Cessna Aircrafts currently, and I will be leaving them in June to go to Lockheed Martin's space division out in California.
Very cool. Very cool. So Kettering University, you guys are both there. Are you there at the same time? And for those that aren't aware on the radio show, listening, there's two different sessions or semesters, whatever the term is. Are you guys there simultaneously or offset?
I can answer that. Normally, no. I'm on A section typically. Max is on B section. But because of the way everything works with Lockheed Martin, I'm doing two back-to-back school terms and then two back-to-back work terms. So we're going to overlap for a semester, and we're actually going to be sharing a house together.
Getting the gang back together, huh, Max?
Yep, that's right.
So we were talking before we went on air here, where you're staying in the Detroit area. Is that the same place? Or, you know, you're going to be staying in Flint together, right, Max?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, so
it would be a little bit of a drive to go back and forth.
I'm sure there are some people that have done that commute. I know that for a fact. So, Lily, so you're headed to Kentucky for school. How did that one come about? Was that a school that you had heard about? What got you down there?
So one of the craziest parts about applying to medical school that a lot of people don't know about is that the average applicant applies to about 15 to 20 schools. And it's a lot of just apply to what sounds interesting and like a good fit for you, and then kind of see where everything takes you. I've honestly really loved the state of Kentucky, and I really like a lot of their programs that they have. And it's also specifically an osteopathic medicine program, as opposed to like, there's like a traditional allopathic programs at other schools, which we could go on a while about. There's just a lot to unfold with it. But I've just been really drawn to Kentucky. I've just been drawn to Kentucky as a state, and the school is just incredibly welcoming. Like over email, over phone, I got to visit them for a week back in January. Everybody is so nice, so kind. They really care about the students. And I just think it's going to be a great fit for me. They have a lot of flexibility, and I'm excited to go there.
Excellent. It'll be a little bit different for I talked to Dad, at least. So if anyone hasn't picked up, AJ and Lily are brother and sister, and their dad, Darren, was on with the Greengineers a couple weeks ago, and we talked about the empty nesters. I am one now, my wife and I, so it's great for the kids, but it's an adjustment period for the parents, I'll tell you that much. So we talked a little bit about Kentucky. AJ and Max, being in Flint, what was your first impressions of heading to Kettering and Flint, and what are they now? What do you see as what was the theory and what's reality?
I'll take this one. When I first got to Flint, because I think we had been there for we had gone for a robotics event in the past. We had went to Kettering specifically because they have a full field setup. Right. So the whole, field to practice the robots and drive them around. And my first impression was, as everyone knows about the water situation in Flint, and I was a little bit worried that when I first like took a tour of Kettering, but the town around Kettering is absolutely amazing. There's always some as you go further out, it gets a little bit less ideal, but it's a great place to be.
AJ.
Yeah, around campus is fantastic. Kettering's been doing a great job at cleaning up the area. Kettering University is built right next to where GM used to have their plants here. And if you look on Google Maps looking down, it looks entirely different than what it looks like. They've been rapidly redeveloping the area, turning old factories into parks. They even turned an old factory into a test track for the SAE teams on campus. I think for being Flint, it's not the typical, oh my gosh, you're going to get shot if you stepped outside type of thing, or you're going to die if you drink the water. It's a pretty nice place around campus. And like Max said, if you get a little too far out, there's certain places of town you shouldn't go, but that's almost anywhere.
Yeah, I would agree the almost anywhere thing. I was born in the Detroit area, grew up in the Detroit area. And if you talk to somebody about Detroit, it's like, if you hear something or whatever, it's one thing. If you actually go there, you guys had the opportunity to go there for first championships. Detroit is a phenomenal town. There's a lot going on. And I don't care where you're at in America, you picked the wrong road to go down, and it was the wrong road. It doesn't really matter what the city is. So we've actually gone a little bit into the interview here, and I just wanted to touch base real quickly from you guys. I got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left. The effects of participating in FIRST Robotics, did that help you to get to where you're at? Did you learn lessons along the way that got you to the point? And I'm going to start with Lily, because Kettering University's already got a tie into FIRST, so I can get an answer out of you guys. But Lily, how about you?
Yeah, I think probably the single biggest thing I learned from robotics was that there's more than one way to do anything, and that there's no set path, and that you can kind of pick the way you do a thing, like similar how like when you have the challenges for each season, there's different ways to complete each task. And I think that's kind of how I've worked my way through college. I like going to community college, then going to a university, and now going to a medical school out of state. It's definitely not a path that everyone's taken, and it's not a path that everyone might want to take, but I think it's one that's really helped me a lot and really given me a lot of opportunities I wouldn't have otherwise had. And I really just think that's the biggest thing I've taken from this.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Max and AJ. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think robotics has really helped me with school, because in a way it's almost made things easier to apply. I feel like coming in, you kind of have background knowledge. Like, for example, we're talking about gear reduction and forces on mechanical systems in class, like mechanical design. And it's like, I've done a lot of this, and I'm actually learning like the math behind the force on gears, teeth, and things like that. And it's a lot easier to apply when you've already had experience designing systems with it. Now you're actually learning how you should have designed the system rather than just kind of throwing things together and guessing, is this going to work?
Yeah. Would you agree with that, Max?
Absolutely. Lots of, you know, like, not just the theory that lots of the theory I've actually applied. Like today I used recursion at work, which is something like it's comically never used. But lots of the soft skills from robotics, I, you know, it's a growing process where it's like same concept as, oh, wow, I should not have done that way, you know, and I did it better the next time. But I've had a few years jumpstart on, you know, coding stuff to get out the bad, bad tendencies.
Good. Hey guys, it was great catching up with you. I want to thank you for taking the time, all in different areas and wrangling around. You guys quickly responded to the text and said, I'd love to do it. I love hearing how you guys are doing, and I look forward to hearing everything else that you continue to do. Who knows, maybe someday at some point in time, I'll have to go to the doctor and it'll be Lily. I don't know. That would probably then scare me a little bit. So nothing against Lily. It just means I'm getting older. So again, thank you guys for the time. This is Robotics Roundtable on 94.9 WSJM. We'll be back in a few minutes to meet with tonight's team. Thank you, guys. Have a great night. Hello, and welcome to Robotics Roundtable on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM. I'm your host, Tim Dunai. We meet here every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to discuss high school robotics with teams from Southwest Michigan area. You can also catch any Robotics Roundtable discussion you missed on WSJM.com as a podcast or see the video of our discussion on WSJM's Facebook page. Today, we are joined by the Wired Cats from Mattawan. In the world of FIRST Robotics, every team has an assigned team number, and they are Team 5675. Welcome, Wired Cats. You guys can wave for everybody who's watching on the Zoom meeting. So I want to thank all of you for participating and being here. It's been a long time goal of mine to be able to get the Mattawan team onto the radio because of distances that we have to travel. Normally it'd be a tough task to handle, but the virtual space has brought us to the point where we can get together. So I appreciate you taking time. If you wouldn't mind, let's go around and introduce yourselves. If you would give me your name, class, school that you attend, and how long you've been involved with FIRST. And I'm going to start with Brandon. How about you?
Yeah, hi, I'm Brandon. I'm in 11th grade, and I've been in FIRST for 4 years now, this being my fourth.
Excellent. Brian?
I'm Brian Weaver. I'm in 10th grade, and I've been in robotics for 7 years.
7 years. Oh, you got a career going in robotics. Very good. McKenna, how about you?
My name is McKenna Bojanowski, and I'm a senior. I've been in robotics for 4 years. This is my fourth year.
All right. All right. Ayla?
My name is Ayla Cross, and I've been on the team on the high school team for about 4 years, and then I've been involved with FIRST for at least 6 years, and I am a senior at Mattawan High School.
Excellent. Excellent. Peter, how about you?
Hi, I'm Peter. I'm an 11th grader at Mattawan High School, and this is my eighth season of robotics.
Eighth season. You guys have been doing this as long as I have. Dom, how about you?
Hi, I'm Dom. I'm in 10th grade, and I've been on this team for about 2 years.
Okay. Ava?
Hi, I'm Ava. I'm in 8th grade, and I've been doing robotics for 2 years.
Okay, and last student here would be Genevieve.
Hi, I'm Genevieve, and I'm in 12th grade, and I've been involved with the Wildcats and FRC Robotics for 3 years.
Okay, and then how about our mentors?
My name is Chris. I am the head coach and been doing that for 2 years now and been involved with robotics for about 6 years.
Okay, Ben?
I'm Ben Hummel. I'm a mentor with the Wildcats, and I've been involved with the team for 7 years, and I work at a local pharmaceutical company as a scientist.
Okay, a local pharmaceutical. And Ken?
Yeah, hi all. I'm Kenny Anderson. I'm an electrical mentor. I've been with the team for about 6 years, and I work for Eaton Cummins Joint Venture as an electrical engineer.
Okay. And Chris, I didn't catch where you're professional. I know you spend a lot of time with robotics, but professional life.
Professional life. I work at Zoetis in downtown Kalamazoo, and okay. I do instrument repair.
Okay. Diverse group from the mentors, and again, I'm impressed by the number of years of FIRST or robotics experience by the students. That's a pretty long, the total number of years there. That's a lot of veteran experience you guys have. We've been talking with a lot of teams as we've met this year, just through discussion. You know, we're meeting in a virtual space. Normally we would have people in a radio station having this discussion around a table, but we're living in this virtual space. So tell me a little bit about how that's affected what your team has had to do to, you know, to adhere to social distancing and safe spaces and working together. McKenna, maybe tell me a little bit about how that's working with your team.
So for our team, working like in a safe space has been very different because we're so used to previous years being all together in the same building, but now we've been like more safe and like separate smaller groups throughout each day of the week. And it's especially been weird where I haven't been able to see some of my fellow teammates.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely odd having a fully virtual experience for the innovation team specifically.
So Peter, tell me a little bit about, you know, McKenna mentioned the innovation team. What's the breakdown? Is there different challenges that different groups are doing? And tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so our whole team broke into two different sub-teams. We have the innovation challenge and then the at-home challenge. So McKenna touched on the innovation challenge. And then with the at-home challenge, we've just been working on different courses that our robot will run. Some of those are autonomous, others are teleoperated. And then we've also stayed in smaller group numbers to do adhere to social distancing and just minimizing team members in the building.
Okay. Ayla, tell me a little bit about, I think we talked a little bit, and you and McKenna are both involved in the Innovation Challenge. Tell me, for somebody who's not aware, what is Innovation Challenge and what is your team doing to do that?
So the innovation challenge is one of the three options that a team could pick, where our challenge is to pick a problem that involves like people's mental and physical health and how we will try to help benefit that health and help improve it, help achieve it.
So who else besides McKenna and Ayla is involved with innovation challenges? Is there anyone else? Or if you could, so Brandon, tell me a little bit about the innovation challenge. Maybe because right now all submissions are in and everything's being judged. So you can share if you want what your team's solution was for the innovation challenge.
The basic concept of it is that it's an exercise chair with utilities on it so that the person that's using the chair can engage in exercises while they aren't doing much.
Okay. How did your team, you know, out of Michaela or McKenna, I'm sorry, my daughter's Michaela. So out of McKenna, Brandon, and Ayla, how did you guys come up with that as what you wanted to tackle? Was there somebody that you thought of that it could help, or maybe McKenna touch on that, or Ayla, somebody let me know that.
For me specifically, it just reminded me of my virtual experience as a student and how I've been like getting neck and back pains. And we noticed how there's like a potential problem right now with the COVID-19 crisis where many office workers and students will be in a similar situation. So we wanted to like create a product that would benefit these people for like a long-term sitting issue.
Okay. Very good. Let's talk about the team and what they're doing in the Infinite Recharge at Home. Maybe talk about what that challenge is and then how the team breaks out into electrical and build and programming people. And we're going to start with Genevieve. Genevieve is the team captain. So if there's anybody that knows what's going on, it's going to be Genevieve.
All right. So for this season, it's similar and different in a million different ways. We're using the same robot that we actually used in the 2019 to 2020 season, which is great for us because we really didn't get to like see out that season what a robot could really end up doing. So we had the opportunity to really innovate a lot of aspects of our robot, but we also didn't even use some of our components. So we ended up taking them off our climber and what we'd use to spin the color wheel. And along the way with these changes, we've been able to communicate with our members who have stayed virtual through things like CAD or Zoom meetings. And we've been able to update them on these new innovations we've created for competing in this season. And if Brian or Peter wanted to mention how we've changed our swerve and our angled shooter, I think that's some of the coolest things that we worked on.
So Brian, if you would tell me, you know, between Brian and Peter, tell me what a swerve drive is for somebody who's driving down the road right now and goes, I have no idea what that is. Tell me what that is. And then tell me what you as a team have done with that.
So swerve drive is our robot can go any direction it wants at any time. So it can go forward, backwards, left or right, or diagonally without having to turn and move and then turn again. It can just rotate all at once. So this year it's been really helpful for the challenges as we have to go through multiple courses and multiple like driving courses. And then the turns on these courses are like straight 90 degree turns. So without having to drive, stop the robot and turn it, then go, we can just do it all in one fluid motion. And it's been really helpful this year.
So Peter, tell me, is the swerve drive new for the team this year? Or is that something you've done in the past?
This is only our second season using the swerve drive, but it will only be our first full season because we implemented it during the 2019-2020 season,
right?
Which was cut short.
Right. Did you, just out of curiosity, did you guys actually get to do a competition in the 2020 season?
We got to one competition.
Okay. Yeah. I'm the judge advisor for the St. Joseph event. So we were able to host that event. And then unfortunately, 2 or 3 days afterwards, we kind of went into the shutdown. So I really, my heart goes out to the teams that didn't get the opportunity to see at least a bit of their hard work come through out in the field. So tell me a little bit about developing that swerve drive. Was that something off the shelf or was that something the team did as a design and concept?
So over the summer, we had one student step up who really took control over it because we realized that in the following years, we wanted something that would help our team kind of stand out from others as not a lot of teams use swerve drive. And we wanted to make that improvement to, or for the continuous improvement to just better improve our team. So over the summer, he worked incredibly hard researching with mentors and himself and then learning everything he could about it. And then so we ended up, we designed the first prototypes in Master Shape.
Okay.
Oh, Onshape, yeah. So we designed everything in Onshape, cloud-based CAD. And then from that, we were able to use Trimation, our team's home, and then we were able to mill everything to exactly how we wanted it and best for our robot.
So Peter, as you were going through that process, did anybody explain to you, like, you know, like Mr. Hummel, the build, one of your build leads, that process you were going through is, that is what so many people are doing within the industry. Did that, were you aware of that? And what did you think about that?
I was initially part of the swerve drive team, but I, after a few meetings, just ended up moving on to a different team. So
but
I'm not, oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm just not the best person to explain that for specific swerve team.
So if anybody just wants to, you know, the touch on that point, whether you're part of the swerve team or not, just to realize that you're doing what real manufacturing that's happening inside that Trimation building. Anybody want to chime in on that?
Yeah. So I know, like, looking at like everything that we've gone through, like the engineering design process and what we're all doing on the build team, I think it's like really setting us up for the future, I think. And then because the information that we're getting here and being able to build everything ourselves and go through the problem solvings and that is obviously a very difficult challenge and then very long process that we've gone through to almost perfect it. Well, it's never perfected yet, but it's just, I think it's really beneficial for everyone here.
So the phrase is progress, not perfection. That is a phrase that as actually my boss had told me long ago, and I just kind of live with it. It's something to go with. Mr. Anderson, talk a little bit about the electrical, what you're hoping to do and teach the students, show them through your experience. And then with Dom and Brandon being involved with electrical, some of the things that you've seen them take on to doing, and then they can even share a little bit with that too.
Absolutely. As I'd like to say, the electrical is the heart and soul of the robot, but I'm always discounted on that one. So with my experience, my forte is on electrical wiring and sensors, interconnect systems. And I try to bring that experience into the team and teach the students how to route wires properly so that we don't have failures, intermittent failures out when we're running the robot. This year and last year, what we did is we've continually evolved with our electrical design and the placement, fighting for real estate on the robot, because there's so many functions that we want to do. So one of the main things that we started out with last year is we developed the belly pan. So it's a structure that lays basically on the insides of the robot. And then we have a hashtag, which holds all of the functional aspects of the robot that sits on top of that. And we have it so that it's hinged on one side so that we can access the electronics when we need to. And so it's been a real space saver.
Excellent. So Dom or Brandon, let's add to that, that Mr. Anderson was talking about, the belly pan underneath. I mean, did you see the need for doing that? And did you was that a team discussion to do that? Or did Mr. Anderson say, here's a recommendation about doing that? Dom or Brandon, one of you want to jump in there?
Yeah, well, it was a team agreement that we should create the belly pan so we can access the electrical components more easily without having to remove any other component that is important for the robot to function.
Okay. Dom, was there anything that you wanted to add in that?
Yeah, the whole design just made everything really, really easy to access, really easy to get to, fix up. And
so there's this piece that Mr. Anderson had talked about, you want to make it neat, and it's not to make it neat just so it looks neat. You mentioned also, Ken, so that if we have to troubleshoot the breakdown, all those things, that it's more than just the aesthetics of it. It is, the functionality of it. And some of that comes together from the electrical. And by the way, I'm an electrical guy, more controls related. So your statement, basically, it's just a block sitting there until the electrical people breathe life into it. So, Genevieve, you're the captain. Who's the programmers? Who makes all this come together?
Well, in our meeting, it's just me and Ava, but we also have Max, who wasn't able to make it today, and a few junior mentors really helping us put this all together, which has been great because me and Ava are actually new, at least I'm new to the programming side of this year, and Ava's new to the high school team robotics this year. So it's been great to have those other people really show us the ropes. And it's also been good this season because, like with a lot of parts of the robot, we're recycling some code this year, and we're also writing newer things. So it's been a great transition. As far as what we're working on for new code, we've been working on, we have that angled shooter that we talked about earlier, and we're programming it. So it's a lot of it's automatic. It's, push a button, and we have our Limelight camera that targets right to the shooter. And it also has automatic for the angle. So that's been really fun to program and to work on. And we've also been doing some work with Pathfinder. And this is where me and Ava have been working together a lot, where we've gone in through Pathweaver. We've tried some different methods with student-written Pathfinder programs. That's been a lot of fun. If Ava wants to talk about how she's learned some things through that and what her experience has been.
Yeah, Ava, if you'd talk a little bit about that, then also talk a little bit about, she said, Genevieve, you said this is your first year really with the high school. Your previous programming experiences involved with robotics.
Yeah, so like Genevieve said, I'm new to the high school team this year, and I think it was a good choice for me to join this year because I got a good introduction to what it was about, and Genevieve has helped me a lot with programming, and I've learned a lot from her and Max, and I really enjoy it.
So did you have programming experience leading into this? Why did you become a part of the programming team?
So I did programming a year in FTC robotics. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of wanted to learn more about it and grow in programming.
So how much different is it to go from FTC? FTC, for those that aren't familiar with it, we're doing things off of a Droid operating system and we're through a phone. And now you move into a whole different world when you get to the one, just the size of the robot, right? And now the programming world. How much different was that for you? And were you concerned that you would be able to grasp all the new information?
Yeah, it's a lot different. Everything's a lot bigger. Like, we used to use phones to control the robot, or yeah, and now we use computers.
Mm-hmm.
And the robot's a lot bigger than what we would use in FTC.
So Genevieve, does that put any pressure on you thinking, okay, the robot's bigger, and if my programming doesn't work, the outcome's not going to be good, and we could damage a very large, expensive robot, as I had one other team tell me a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Some days, you know, you just start up the robot and it's doing something weird and you got to, you know, look back at the code. And we've started this year, we've been a lot better at organizing everything because last year at our one and only competition, we kind of ran into that problem where partway through something stopped working. We were trying to pinpoint the code and we fixed one thing and then something else seemed broken. So that's this year, we've definitely focused on that organization aspect, especially with we're trying to distance ourselves. So we need to stay in communication. It's been a good practice to, you know, not just to make our systems better, make ourselves more efficient, but to also learn as, you know, me and Ava are newer to all this.
That's excellent. And you just this working in the separate areas, the different specialties, but still trying to come together as a team. Hats off to the mentors to help pull that together as a team captain. I'm sure you're doing a part of that, but just the team recognizing you're all learning from this. And the beautiful thing, at least in my mind, is you have not stopped growing as far as your knowledge level. You've just found a new way to do it. And this is, you know, something you'll take with you the rest of your lives, and you'll probably use this skill set. We're at the point in the time of the show where I want to make sure you students and mentors get a chance to give some shout outs. So I'd like to have you guys give shout outs. I'm going to call a name and we're going to let you give a shout out. So I'm going to start with McKenna. You've been quiet for a bit. Give me a shout out.
I'd like to give a shout out to my fellow teammate and senior captain, Genevieve Woodby. I feel like she's very deserving of shout out because she has taken so many tests this year, or like throughout her whole entire robotics career, from CADing the robot to organizing the team to taking up programming this year. And she's just been a general inspiration to her fellow teammates and other women in STEM.
Very good. Ayla, how about you?
I would just like to give a shout out to mentors in general throughout FIRST, because dealing with this new way of doing FIRST robotics competitions, FIRST tech competitions, all of the above, it's quite a challenge to adapt to a like kind of hybrid mode of doing it where you're either partially in person or partially online. It's a huge task to coordinate and make sure everything's getting done on time. And I just appreciate the effort that that goes into the whole set of programs.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you. Brian, how about you?
So I'd like to give a shout out to our home space, our team space, TriMation. Our old facility, we couldn't no longer work there because they were being overfilled with people. So we were kind of lost. We had nowhere to go. And then TriMation kind of took us in. And in their warehouse, their large, all their facilities, they have a large area for us to build our field and build and then program and CAD.
Right.
And they've just been really helpful throughout the past 2 years. And then we've been able to do incredible things with their machinery and everything that they offer and how supportive they are.
Yeah, you know, getting sponsors to give you dollars is great, but to give you a build space and to be actively a part of things, that's an excellent thing. Peter, how about you?
I'd like to give a shout out to my fellow teammate Carter, who took over the shooter team I had at FIRST picked up after I was on a leave of absence.
Very good, Carter. Let's see, who haven't I gotten to? Ava, how about you?
I would like to give a shout out to Mr. Cross for allowing me to be on the team this year and for encouraging me to do robotics.
Very good. Very good. Brandon?
Yeah, I'd like to give a shout out to the host of this podcast for letting us share our story.
It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. So the screen's jumping around. Dom, did you get to go?
No, I did not.
Okay. Go.
I can't really think of anything right at the top.
Then default to thank mom and dad. Always go with default to thanking the parents.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
Shout out to all the parents that have helped out with pretty much everything. Organizing masks and
there you go. Good. See, you had it there. Students. Did I get all the students? Genevieve, go ahead.
I feel like there's so many people I could shout out right now, but just maybe a general, everybody who's stepped up this year, like kind of taking a leadership role online. But especially, I really want to shout out Ava, because the jumping from eighth grade into programming, especially on a program team where everybody's a senior or older, it's got to be very daunting. And she's just done an amazing job of just sticking in there, showing up and learning. It's really nice to watch.
Great. And then mentors, I'm going to give you each about 30 seconds. I'm sorry. But each of you, give me something there. Ken, how about you?
Yeah, absolutely. First, I'd like to give a shout out to all of our students. We have a great group of exceptional students this year that are dedicated and make it a lot easier to go through this thing. And then finally, I'd like to make a shout out to the mentors' wives who put up with us putting so many long hours in.
My wife is outside in the living room right now, so she understands what you're talking about. Ben, we had a good one we were discussing, so if you wouldn't mind going ahead there.
I'd just like to shout out to all of the West Michigan teams FRC teams that have been so helpful to our team over the years. They've given us tons of advice and suggestions that have making our life a lot better and helped us grow. I'd especially like to point out Team 4381, the Twisted Devils, mm-hmm. out of Gull Lake, Richland area. They were our sponsor early on when our rookie year, and helped us the first two or three seasons. We couldn't have done it without them. They've been fantastic.
Yeah, they're an exceptional group of mentors and students. Chris, I'm going to let you have the last word here, sir.
All right. I don't even know where to begin. We do have two mentors that haven't been able to spend much or any time with us this year because they both work at Pfizer and have been involved with helping have been involved with the vaccine.
The production and distribution.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Next. And that's incredible. You know, how many other teams can say that, right? I need to give a shout out to my wife in particular for allowing me to do this. She is an amazing woman. And last but not least, I often say that to be the best, you have to surround yourself with the best, and we have the best here. And, you know, I just applaud and appreciate everybody.
Well stated. I don't think I could put a better bow on all of that. I do appreciate the time, guys. This is by far the largest number of people I've had on this monitor, but I absolutely enjoyed the opportunity to get together with you, meet with you. Look forward to seeing you at a competition. It will happen. For those of you who are not seniors, we will get to do that in person. And I look forward to hearing about how you guys are doing with Infinite Recharge at home and the Innovation Challenge also. So again, thank you all very much. Have a great night. Stay safe, stay healthy. Thank you again for being here.
Thank you for joining Robotics Roundtable on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM. Robotics Roundtable is supported by Berrien Springs Public Schools, together inspiring students to think, learn, achieve, and care in a global community. Cook Nuclear Plant. Explore careers at aep.com/careers. South Haven Public Schools, inspiring success in learning, leadership, and life. And Lakeshore Public Schools, supporting and offering STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Grounded in tradition, committed to excellence.